Isn't it funny how much we resist all the negative? But really, that old ridiculous, obnoxious saying, if you didn't feel the negative, you couldn't recognize the good. And if you really practice choice, what happens is you get more choice of picking more good. And the negative is less intense. That's all. But you don't get to skip it. But we spend a lot of energy and a lot of time fighting against it. A battle we cannot win. All right, so any questions? Thoughts? I need to tap gentler. Kind of like, how? Got a little enthusiastic there. Yes.
It's interesting, you know, I don't know if this is some tap on, but I've talked to Barbara about this before.
Hey.
You know, it's since you're talking about resistance and stuff, I'm sort of having crossed the big 4-0 in the last year or two. It's kind of like, I don't know what it is, but it's like I've become really reminiscent of this time when I was a student. And at the time, I had this, you know, this experience of being really stressed out and didn't have any time, and I was always like, oh, there's so much to do. And it was just, it's just what you just said, you know, like if you haven't experienced the negative, you don't have the positive. I mean, at that time, that was reality for me. And now what I'm dealing with in my life, it's like that was play. That just seems like paradise time. I have all this free time to do nothing but read and think and write and study.
And suffer.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I was great at suffering, too. I was really good at that, too. But now it's like I look at it and I think, wow, what an amazing time that was, you know? And it's just, I'm always going back to like, wouldn't that be great? Because like, you know, I wake up with an alarm all the time now, whatever. And whatever, you get the world of it, you know? It's just a different life. And so I try to tell myself, well, it's just different phases of life. Now I'm in a different phase of life. Now I'm a professional and I'm very responsible and I'm doing this and that, you know?
Oh my God, I'd be miserable too if I thought that way.
No, no,
where's your choice?
Yeah.
Right. So maybe there's some of that going on there.
Yeah, now you're victimized by responsibility, right, by the alarm clock, right, by all that money coming in,
right,
everybody depending on you.
Right.
You're just not in choice. Guys, the only time you suffer is when you perceive there's no choice. So you just have to decide, do you know how many people are homeless in America? They don't all have to be that way. A lot of people have chosen no mortgage, no jobs, no responsibility, no family. A lot of people who are homeless do not want to be in regular society. I mean, some have mental issues, but a lot just don't want the burden of functioning. So you have a choice. You absolutely can be a homeless person. It would freak out your entire family and all your friends. But have you ever really considered it's a choice? If you don't align to it's a choice, you won't enjoy where you are any more than you enjoyed what you had at the time when you didn't know you could enjoy it.
Helen, the drive for human security
is an illusion.
Yeah.
But it's so paramount. And one, do I get my money back? Is there a warranty? You know, all the things to protect me from making the choice I've made. You know.
And so it's a practice. You have to know that everything you do is a choice. How many of us say, I got to go to the store? You don't have to go to the store. You get to go to the store.
We even have a law that you can revoke the deal if you have 72 hours or something. They call it buyer's remorse. You get home and I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to have this or whatever it is.
But right down to, you know, do I want to work? Do I want the responsibility that comes with more and more income?
Where I'm at is I'm in and out of it, right? I mean, I just expressed to you the downs, you know, the negative times that I go into that. But then I'm also finding myself saying a lot. I'm very blessed. People ask me, how am I doing? I'm blessed.
I'm asking you to come from a different angle.
Okay.
I choose this.
Yeah.
So for some days you're going to be like, yeah, do you choose this? Man, I'm rocking it.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm impressed with me. And other days you'll be like, I choose this. I am so lying. I'd rather, you know, be on a beach. I'd rather my phone drop in the toilet than answer one more call. Right? But you just lie through it anyway, because we lie to ourselves all the time. And eventually, you change your whole thought paradigm that you're in choice, and then you don't have that victim story anymore. The reason your younger self before 40 didn't believe they were living paradise with no responsibility is because they didn't think there was a choice. Do you get the paradigm? The blessing part's good. Stay with that. But now tweak it into, I have a choice today. And some days, guys, some days you got to just choose depression. Some days you're like, wow, I'm just sad today. Just choose it. Wow, look at me, I'm really anxious. Or like when you were burned out on that pro bono case. Wow, look at that, I really resent doing this. I'm doing it anyway because I have a reputation with myself. I'm choosing to do it even though I have this feeling. That's where you start getting really empowered at a different level. So guys, we all want to expand our consciousness so we can have more choice. And this is what it looks like.
There are doctors who will ask the patient why you chose this illness and infuriate the patient.
Yeah, because most of our choices are not conscious. I mean, if somebody asked me, why'd you choose 15 years of chronic pain? Yeah, I'd probably hit them. You know, nobody in their right mind would choose that. Why would somebody choose death of a spouse at such a young age? Why would somebody choose cancer? That's not logical. That's not this mind playing with you. But you do have control over this mind. So ask it. Okay, you know, do your whiny bit, and then let's get serious. I'm choosing this because I like the paycheck. I like the lifestyle. I like being able to travel. I'm choosing it because I like the mental challenge. I'm choosing it because vacation is good, but I wouldn't want to live there. I'm choosing it. Sometimes you got to have a good, firm talk with yourself. And know always that your mind will lie to you. And so all your mind's doing, it's selling you on the human propaganda that we're here to suffer, which was very, very true, but it's changing now. Make sense?
Yeah, I've had that a long time. It's really good.
Yeah, well, you inherited it, and it's been on Earth, and our human history suggests it. So, yeah, we're the first ones who will break that pattern. It's pretty cool. Well, okay, our kids are beating us to it, but, yeah, my kids are happy. And it kind of bugs me sometimes. You know, it's that heart changing the old patterns. I'm like, they have like, I remember once watching my son, I'm like, you know, are you supposed to be working or something? And he's like, no, Mom, you know, and he tells me whatever he did already. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my God, I want him to feel guilt. And I'm like, that is so bizarre. It is such a natural, innate thing. I'm thinking I should guilt him into wanting to work more. And I'm like, wow, I got to go back and meditate some more or something, tap, I don't know what. But it, and I remember when I was really dealing with financial scarcity and healing that, I noticed that my kids had a lot more spending money than I did. That really bothered me. I could feel it. Resentment, jealousy, frustration. It was really difficult to raise my children in a different consciousness than I had been raised in. It was almost painful. And yet, it was the healing I was seeking for myself. So, this is really what it looks like. But I promise you this, you got the gratitude down great, and you know, because your goodness keeps expanding. So you're doing gratitude very well, keep doing that. But now if you want to play the mental part and the old programming part, remind yourself you're in choice. The only thing you're not choosing is breathing. That's going to do it without you. But everything else, you have a choice.
Like, I'm curious for clarification. So I have a sense that I don't choose the emotions in the sense that my mental, intellectual mind actually is good at hiding from me what I'm actually feeling. It will write a story down. So I've been trying to practice really sort of being aware of what I'm feeling without choosing it. But rather saying, I am angry, I am sad, I am mad, I am happy. And then finding choice in how I want to respond to that feeling. So whether I
absolutely
stay with it or not stay with it or what it is.
Absolutely.
But I actually like the freedom of not having to choose how I am to feel at any given time.
You can't really choose how you feel anyway.
That's there's no choice there. In a good way.
Not from the human ego place. Like bliss and joy and happiness, those are actually not so much a choice, they're a journey, but they're not really so much a choice, they're a byproduct of full alignment and authenticity. Like you can't just choose it. You can affirm yourself to death, it doesn't mean you're gonna choose it. And so the mind will lie to you even though our minds are really powerful and good for us. We can't function without them, wouldn't want to function without them, right? I'm talking vegetable. So the mind, you know, you've got, I always teach five bodies, mental body, emotional body, spiritual body, energetic body, that's the one we seem to know least about, unless you're Nancy, and which one did I leave out? Emotional?
Physical.
Physical. And the physical body. So do you know what all's going on in there?
A lot.
Yeah, like what the heck, right? I mean, there's sounds and smells and reactions and bizarre things going. Sometimes it gets it really right and you're impressed, and sometimes you're like, what the heck, right? So there's not choice over everything. Like, I do believe it's a vibrational planet and we do co-create, but we don't create everything. We don't one-up God. There's a lot going on out of our consciousness. So emotion, emotion's real. You don't pick it with your mind. Emotion is a real experience. Most of us haven't been taught to have a good relationship with our emotional body. But if you keep doing what you're doing, it sounds like you're doing a great job. What I have found consistently now is if you learn a skill with the negative emotion, if you choose to be skillful with your negative emotion, your positive emotion will thrive. Isn't that cool?
Give an example. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So how would you be skillful? She just gave a great example. She says she when she feels an emotion, she says she names it. Number one, name it, validate it, experience it, and then usually once it has your attention, it leaves. True? If you don't resist it, or if it's not telling you there's a memory you need to access and heal, it pretty much just they flows through you. Guys, emotions are not God's curse to us. It's not like the, oh, I'm sorry, there's men in the room. I was going to say, it's not like the eternal menstrual period. Sorry, guys. It's not the curse. The emotions are, it's only that we as humans, hey, if you go to a doctor and you say, why do I feel this? What are they going to do? They're going to drug you. They're not going to say, oh, that emotion serves you, figure this out. Mm-hmm. We just don't know the language of emotions yet. I'm learning, and I have affirmed and prayed and asked for it so much that I have two books I'm reading on emotions right now, The Language of Emotions. It's fascinating. But what I can tell you from my own personal experience with many, many, many clients, that when they learn how to sit with negative emotion, schedule it, name it, validate it, experience it, and have non-judgment with it, their positive emotions thrive. Today I forget what happened. I can't even remember what it was now. Something I said, oh, that really frustrates me. And my big son, when they come to hug you, they're big. He comes to hug me. I'm like, don't touch me. I'm frustrated. I don't like to be hugged when I'm frustrated. He goes, well, no, you're already over it. I'm like, you didn't even give me 60 seconds. He says, you only need 6. And I'm like, no, that's called repression. I'm just learning this. I'm just getting good at this. Back off till I'm ready to hug. And then I can't even remember what I was bothered about, so that was gone.
So then you were ready to hug.
Yes, but not him right then. Maybe that was a little transference. But no, then we went to the grocery store and had a good time. But they're so unaccustomed to see me uncomfortable because it doesn't happen very often. Because I schedule it. When I meditate and pray, that's when my negative emotion is welcome to come play. And I can cry or cuss or moan or complain or feel self-pity. And then the rest of the day, I like to be me. So is that an example? But you don't get to skip it. How many of you guys are wasting a lot of time thinking you have to feel perfect? Yeah, how's that going for you? Doesn't feel very good, does it? Yeah, and you don't get any good results.
Yeah, you're right. So we're doing that 5 minutes of scheduling one emotion. Just doing them one at a time.
Well, when you get started. But the minute your emotional body trusts you, this is on a video blog. I forget, I'll have to find out which one to tell you. But anyway, it's on my website, helenrace.com, and go to the blogs okay. And how to schedule it. But eventually, you're going to have such a good relationship with your emotional body that when you sit your butt in the chair with the timer, you don't know who's going to come up to play. But it won't matter because you'll just be curious about it. And then no matter where you are, no matter who's being a jerk to you, you'll be able to say to your own emotions, I get to drive my own reality, and I will feel you and allow you expression later. Isn't that all you want is choice? Not to murder somebody? Although sometimes it's a tempting thought.